Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ninth all-time in NFL history. Oh, the ball's down. Mayfield lost it, and Washington pulled it away. Let's go! And it's Bobby Wagner, the captain, as Jalen McMillan and Baker Mayfield mess up the exchange.
He is a rare competitor. So much of his success is unseen work. And I'm in early. He's already there. He'll be the first one in tomorrow. I'm certain of it. He's just that type of competitor, David, that he doesn't back off of it. He's very disciplined. And I think disciplined is like can be seen as a negative word. But in this instance, I'm talking like the focus and the discipline to stay at it. Like, that's not easy to do.
That's Hall of Famer Bobby Wagner. Put some respect on that name. Dan Quinn talking about his great linebacker last night who had the takeaway. The ball is life. The ball is life. One takeaway for Washington, no turnovers, plus one, and it loomed very, very large.
Because the ball is life.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Coach.
No turnovers, no punts. That doesn't happen very often in the NFL. I think it's Peyton Manning and Jaden Daniels, the two quarterbacks to ever have that happen in a playoff game.
Yeah, first time since Peyton Manning in 03 that a quarterback's led an offense that didn't punt and didn't turn the ball over. And in this particular instance, they didn't run the ball at all in the process.
That's right.
Not too shabby. The Commanders have built a foundation for success on and off the field this season. It's time for you to plan for your future as well. The sponsor of our show will help. The law firm Condori and Murrah. They'll help you update your last will and testament. They'll set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorney today. KMLawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you to get a discount. KMLawyers.com. We heard from them right after the ball clinked.
Immediately, yep.
Clinked the uprights. I don't even know if the ball had gotten from the upright over the goalpost yet before we were getting texts.
So it was, the sequence was like this. Dunk. Bzz.
Right.
Like immediately.
They were fired up.
Yeah.
How many texts did you get last night?
So many.
It was great just to, I heard from people I haven't heard from in a while. A buddy of mine who's in a front office in baseball hit me up out of the blue I haven't talked to in a year or two. And he's like, hey, I know how long you've been waiting for this, man. What a great game that was. Congrats.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of your team, but that was awesome. I mean, like college teammates I haven't heard from in years and, friends and you know, dads from like the pickup line, you know what I mean? Like for our kids. Like it's unbelievable.
We used to get excited to chant, we're not the worst. We're not the worst. We're now the cool team.
The cool team.
Like everybody loves this team, our team,
right.
Because we have the cool guy that puts his cape on and comes out of the phone booth and just flies around. And makes everything okay.
Fixes the problems. I mean, he's so wonderful. Like, again, I was joking with Etten Day and our buddy Linnell on the pregame show. I was like, maybe I could just do the thing. I hate to oversimplify stuff where we're talking about matchups, talking about this thing and the Lattimore and Evans feud and the run game.
Well, by
no,
the
it did not. But I was like, here's the deal. I'm just going to sit here and tell you that this is about having Jaden Daniels. And if he's healthy and available and they're within a score, that's your best chance. I was like, maybe I could have my own show on FS1 like Nick Wright, whose entire show is basically him saying Patrick Mahomes is great, and that's the show. Maybe I could do that, but that's the deal. Like, it's about Jaden bleeping Daniels. The offense should be broken. It should be a problem. It should be non-functioning. We should be sitting here going, what the hell's going on with them? Instead, we're on to the next round. We're in the final eight in the whole NFL. It's absurd.
Couple of quick notes, and then I want to hit the phones hard here this segment. 800-636-1067. We'll get to them in a moment. I went down from the press box Paulson, last night to the bowels of the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I waited probably 10 or 15 minutes knowing it would take forever just for them to get through, get off the field, get their celebration over, whatever. And even still, guys weren't all into the locker room yet from doing all their post-game obligations. But I saw that the door was still open, and Mitch Rales, who's one of the minority owners of the team, was embracing Dan Quinn and gave him this huge hug, and they were so excited. And then I posted a bunch of these videos, if you guys want to go watch them, on my Instagram, at Grant H. Paulson. But I saw Rales and Ein, the minority owner, standing there at the door as all the players came in to greet them,
mm-hmm.
waiting for Jaden Daniels, who he and McLaurin were the last guys off the field. So Daniels comes, and he just gives them this huge embrace, this huge hug. And then Terry, even bigger than that, and they're hugging him. He says, we're not done yet. Then Josh Harris and his family came over, and his daughter comes up, and clearly, you know, she hadn't seen him since the end of the game because he goes down to the sideline with Adam Peters at the end of the game. And I'm sure she stayed up in the suite or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, his youngest, he's got five kids, I believe. And his youngest is, she must be, I don't know, 12, something like that, 13, 14 years old. I don't know how kid ages work. But he picks her up off the ground. She's yep. giving her this huge hug, and she's so proud of her dad. And it was just, it's such a different feeling from the curmudgeon, angry, sourpuss, frowning.
Yeah, it's that hug of resignation.
Nobody touches or sees the wizard, you know, from Dan Snyder.
Uh-huh.
It was just like jubilation. I mean, multiple people from the ownership group, and I'm not doing a flex or anything, but like, I want people to know how these people treat people. Came up to me standing there, and, like, gave me the bro hug or the dap, and were like, how about that? I'm like, that's amazing. Like, you guys are going to have a fun show tomorrow, or, you know,
right.
how long you been waiting for this? And I'm like, well, you know, it's your moment. Enjoy it. But, like, it's just decent people
it's night and day.
That are running this thing. And they can't believe it, by the way. Maybe Peters, to some extent, who I talked with for a split second last night. I think even he's pretty shocked with what's going on. Dan Quinn, in his wildest dreams, did he really think they'd win 12 games in this playoff game? I don't know if he would tell you that with True Serum, but I know that this ownership group is just stunned, and they're like the rest of us. They don't know what to do with their hands. I mean, it was so cool. But if you want to go watch any of those videos, Magic Johnson was holding court.
You know Magic Johnson.
Like, what world is this? Magic Johnson in his Commanders gear holding court with the media about how great the Commanders are after their playoff win.
Yeah, my favorite player of all time. You know, like the redefining of the point guard position. Magic Johnson, you know, the guy that saved the NBA. You know, that superstar that I watched highlight after highlight after highlight, who I loved watching every Saturday on NBC or ABC or whatever. You know that guy? He's one of the owners of my football team. Like, what? What planet is this? What is everything? I can't stop being nostalgic. I can't stop thinking back to the miseries of these end of seasons where it's just playing out the string. I'm begging for someone to get fired as if that's going to matter at all because you're just going to reshuffle the deck on a sinking ship that's probably already sunk. We're spelunking at this point to try to find any kind of sign that something could be turned around. It was all pointless. It's gone. It's over.
I want to – one more story I want to pass along, too, that I'm just remembering. I love how Daniels conducts himself just constantly.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, right after they made the game-winning field goal last night, when you see the video of him, he did not emote. There was not a jump. There was not a fist pump. There was nothing. He smiled a few seconds after. But he essentially stood up like he had to go back out on the field to go win the game. After they had kicked the game-winning field goal, and Danny, he didn't emote. Like, that's how this mm-hmm. guy has had the rookie year he yeah. has had. He is unfazed. He is unflappable. I'm pretty sure he lives with his mom, which I'm not knocking him for. That's awesome. I hope you're having a good time, like playing board games and doing things. You know what he does? He focuses on football. He goes home, he does football stuff. I saw him at the Wizards game with his mom. They're watching the game. She tells him, get off your phone, the camera's on us. And he gets off his phone. Like, this kid, man, is just a really pleasant, normal kid. Awesome young guy. This really old reporter. He had to be 85, you know, mid-80s, I'm guessing, last night in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Is like hobbling around and doing his thing, and he's getting a couple interviews or whatever. And he goes up to one of the PR guys and he goes, can I meet the young star, or, you know, or whatever. And like Jaden Daniels is at his locker and the unwritten rules. And, you know, you kind of leave the quarterback alone. He does a press conference at the podium. You could go up and say congrats or whatever, but nobody's, you don't talk to him. You don't interview him. And the PR guy's like, yeah, you could say hi, whatever. So the guy walks over and I'm just listening and watching. And he's like, he goes on this like 2-minute thing I'm not trying to drone on the dude. I'm just telling you what happened.
Sure, sure.
Where he's like telling Jaden Daniels, like, my name is so-and-so, and I work for this place, and I've been doing it for 50 years. And I mean, Jaden Daniels just won this playoff game. He's on top of the world. His teammates are all trying to talk to him. And he just like looking at the guy eye to eye, and he's like, oh, that's so cool, man. Like, oh, well, thanks for saying that. And he's like, I just want you to keep it up, you whippersnapper. The way you're handling yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so like, I could just see any person being like, hey, cool, man. And just like, just yeah. no selling.
You know that
guy.
You know that person that's like right. grabbing on your arm a little bit, and exactly. it's like you're trying, okay, thanks, like, man,
you
take
are
it easy.
Way
and he's like,
too comfortable, yeah. and like, this is not the place. And, but Jaden Daniels just kind of looking at him was like, thanks a lot. Like, I really appreciate it. Like, asking him follow up questions, and I'm like, what a good kid this is. You know, like, I'd be happy if my son treated this guy
yeah.
this way. Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Chris is in Hyattsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, Grant, thank you for representing Commander Nation in Tampa and giving us all the pregame footage and shots. Danny, thank you for hunkering down in your fortress of solitude
That's
and
right,
avoiding
yeah.
all human contact.
we did what
required.
We had to do. Respectfully.
Yeah, everyone did everything they could. Chris, you're right.
We did what we could.
You guys, you knew the script. Listen, I could go on and on just showering Jaden Daniels with all the accolades that you guys mentioned before. I do want to point out something about the game itself. As expected, Baker Mayfield gave the game away, in my opinion. He fumbled the bag, as the kids say, both literally and figuratively. He fumbled the ball in a critical situation. And something that's not really being discussed, I think he tricked his own center into premature and snapping the ball on what I think is the pivotal play of the game. If the Buccaneers pick up that first down, they might score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Who knows how much time is left on the clock. Baker Mayfield tried to outsmart himself, and Orlovsky does a great breakdown on the cadence and why he thinks he fooled his own center. Mm. So you check that out on Twitter.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I saw Barton after the game took full blame and basically said he botched it. Because the reason I thought he screwed it up was no one else moved. There's 10 guys on one page and the center's on the other page.
Yeah, but Baker uses unusual cadence and does like a double hard count.
Okay.
I just thought it was like overkill in that situation. He was trying to draw off sides, but it's a 1 yard. I mean, they were running it down their throat all
inches,
night.
Inches, you're getting six a pop all quarter.
Yeah. Danny, if you feel your left hand just somewhat wandering upward above your head, don't worry, don't panic. That's not a neurological disorder. That's just the spirit of the Commanders flowing through your veins. Okay.
How about it?
A name that is here to stay, it would appear.
Oh, yeah, by the way, that's over.
12 wins and a playoff dub. Everybody buying their Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin Commanders jerseys.
Bon voyage. There goes the ship. It's sailing.
Somebody said that to me at the airport. They're like, there's no way they're going to change the name now, right?
And nope.
I said, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's over, Johnny.
They were upset about it, but they're like, look around. I said, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They could if they wanted to, because it's still the popularity on a poll is never going to be good, but it's less an issue right now, isn't it? Your memories of the Commanders are very positive right now. It's Jaden Daniels, Hail Mary, and black sweater, you know, in the black jersey. It's the doinking in last night, like, all of a sudden, there's a little more positive connotation. And God forbid they win another one, and they're playing in an NFC championship game, or God willing, I guess. Not God forbid, that's the opposite.
No, but it kind of is in terms of the name. That's what you're talking about. It's the nail in the coffin.
I mean, you get to an NFC championship game, or am I going to say it at 3:17 for the first time today?
Can you imagine?
On the Grant and Danny radio program? If you get to a Super Bowl?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Hey,
whoa.
Christian, tell Brennan's to get the scotch eggs ready.
Prepare my feast.
We are coming to New Orleans in short order. Let's go to Bernie in Potomac Falls on Grant and Danny. What's up, Bernie?
Hey, Bern.
Man, I'm 56 years old. I wish I could bottle this. A lot of things make me feel young, but the Commanders winning like this, that makes me feel like a teenager and then youthful exuberance. I'm going to touch on a couple things. One, what you're saying about Jaden Daniels and those drives at the end of the games, they're not made up of a lucky pass, a 50-yard bomb. They're made up of 8- and 10-yard strikes. And I'm not saying this is what we have, but I'm saying this is what it feels like. He manages those situations like Brady, but he runs like Lamar Jackson. I'm not saying he's a hybrid, but that's what I'm seeing.
That's
he's
true.
Not throwing mm-hmm. a six, he's not throwing a 60-yard bomb to Terry McLaurin. They're all 15 to 20-yard passes to players that might not be on the team in 2 to 3 years in some cases. I don't even know what to say about that. And the other one, Danny, I want to touch on what you said. December 26th, I went to the gym, right? A lot of people after Christmas. That gym has been dominated by Steeler, Giants, and Philadelphia gear. I live in Northern Virginia. We're here, Potomac Falls. That's not the case anymore. Everybody got Commanders gear for Christmas. It is awesome watching the rebirth of a franchise. And I don't care what happens the rest of the season. I know you can hate me for that. This moment, this everything, the town is changing. How does that happen? I mean, the feeling and the mood of not running into Steelers fans when I go out, or Eagles fans or Giants fans, but my son's friends becoming Commanders fans. Suck it all in. I wish I could bottle it. I know you got a lot of calls. Thanks.
Appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Buddy.
And that's Great the call. Phenomenon. I mean, they were, you know, 6-4 with Alex Smith, winning 16-14. Everybody knew. It's not this, right? It takes that real... This is meaningful, real sustainable stuff, right? Where you've got a great general manager, smart ownership group, a head coach who knows what the hell he's doing, and it's the quarterback. As soon as that happens, you go, A, we're never out of it. B, it's must-see television. And C, we're now cool. It wasn't cool when Alex Smith was doing what he was doing. The league didn't care. The national audience didn't care. Everybody cares now.
Well, this has a chance to be an era, you know, Taylor Swift style. Like, this is a generation ahead here, potentially, with the way this thing is set up. It is harder in the NFL, in my opinion, to write a second bestseller than a first. And what I mean by that is, with their schedule and a lot of one-year contracts, bottling this back up and doing it again next year gets really hard and complicated. Not something we need to worry about or think about today. But my point is just, you shouldn't take anything for granted. This is a magical carpet ride. Let's ride this thing out. The chemistry in the locker room is the best I've ever seen. It's the brotherhood bit, the sergeant slogan backwards hat, victory Tuesday, but Monday is explaining
the day.
Tell
the truth.
Yeah, like all that stuff is 100 out of 100 on a Madden scale right now. You could be more talented, and they will be, because they're going to spend $100 million and they're going to get more picks. And you might not have the same locker room. You're never going to recreate this maybe to the same extent. So they'll have challenges moving forward. But what seems like it is sustainable... Like, Peters is outstanding at what he does, right? Quinn is going to try his best and try to shape this culture, and it seems like he is great at doing that. And all along, being impressed by Daniels is one thing, but I haven't really gotten to a point where I felt like I was sure this could be like a 10- or 12-year thing until the last couple of weeks, where I'm starting to think, maybe this is just what he's going to be. Like, maybe he is this good. And this isn't a nice run. This isn't a rookie year. This isn't a take the league by storm thing. Maybe they've got Mahomes and Allen and Lamar. And if you do, by the way, nothing matters. Receiving group not being great. Offensive line not being great. Defense being just okay. Going on the road. Playing as an underdog. When you have a quarterback like this that is so hard to defend that's playing at this level, who is efficient as a passer and operates your offense with precision, and as he said, is an elite weapon Lamar style as a runner. Every single game you're in. And more often than not, if he's got the ball at the end of the game, he makes the plays. Now, does it all carry over? Is it just linear like this year in and year out and just keep getting it better? No, of course not. There's going to be turbulence.
Sure.
But this, to your point, Danny, when you went on a winning streak in 05 with old Mark Brunell or 07... with Todd Collins, it was a career backup.
It was fun, but come on.
Only in 2012 did it feel like this. And even then, it was still Snyder who was going to ruin it somehow. You didn't have an actual general manager running the operation. And I think there were some people who had a pretty good feel that, like, what was happening was a little bit of a house of cards offensively. Like, there was a use-by date on that milk, the way that they were doing things, so to speak. This is not that. Nothing about this is that. This could be a 7, 10, 12-year window. My son, I'm literally getting chills thinking about this, who this morning, I got home from my flight. I got on the plane at 5. I came in at 7. He ran up to me as I walked in the door. And he said, Dad, we did it. And he went upstairs and put his Jaden Daniels jersey on. He just turned 4 years old. He might see them play in 8 years in a row of playoff games and get to three NFC championship games and win a Super Bowl because they have a chance now.
They have a chance.
They never did before.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is Daniels, bar none. Like, quarterback is the main thing. But it's GM, it's head coach, it's QB, it's ownership, it's the whole thing. It's all different. Everything's different now.
Everything is different.
But the quarterback in this sport is the make it or break it. Great coaches aren't great anymore without the quarterback.
That's right.
Great GMs suddenly look pedestrian. That's the most important piece. And they got it. 800-636-1067 is the number. What'd you love most about last night? We do have Jay Gruden on the show at 5 o'clock. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Cliff called my number, and I was like, well, essentially before I told him, like, hey, you know, you can put the ball in my hands. So he called my number, made can't see miss, and, you know, the O-line did a great job of blocking.
Third and three. Fourth and two. Third and one. Fourth and inches. Doesn't matter. All year long, short yardage, they have gone to a very similar play to that. They pull Cosme to the left. They kind of allow the D-tackle free to get into the backfield. And it's Jaden's responsibility to not let the big guy get you. And he did not.
You know what the level of huevos it takes to pause with your back to the line of scrimmage the way he does on that kind of fake? I understand that's the play, but I might have turned around a little quicker than the play was designed for in that situation, just to try to scamper. But you turn your back to a guy that has beaten everybody in front of you like a drum all evening. And, he escapes from Kansas and gets that first down. Just the game sealer, the winner.
John Allen, Deron Payne, Tressway, Terry McLaurin, the longest tenured veterans with this operation, all on to the second round for the first time in their careers. Tressway, 11 seasons with Washington, well over 100 games. Terry's at 97 games. Allen's just over 100. Payne, even more games than Allen just because he's been healthier. And how about, speaking of Deron Payne, you see his finger x-ray?
I couldn't look at it.
The bones were not anywhere near each other in that finger.
Live, I was like, what's going on? And then when he came over holding the end of the fingers, they showed that one replay. I'm going, that's all for me. You guys have been great. I can't handle it.
You know that he was going to keep playing. He got 9 more of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy for me to say in the press box, but I realized after I tweeted, I'm like, it just looks like a finger injury. He'll be fine. I'm like, easy for me to say.
Yeah.
As I sit here typing and eating my chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, this particular hangnail has me just all sorts of fatuxed.
You heard Brian Robinson at the beginning of that highlight there on the play action fake. I'm not blaming Brian Robinson for their run problems because nobody can run the ball right now, but I would say that he is having the least success, and there were a couple of times where I thought there were bigger holes or opportunities, and he didn't get enough yards. Had 16 yards on 10 attempts. He's now down to under 2.5 yards per carry over the last 5 games he's run in. I say that to tell you, I need Chris Rodriguez active. He was inactive last night, didn't really understand that, but they have to find a way to get him active. You mean to tell me you couldn't have used that sledgehammer with all those goal line carries that they were doing where they couldn't get any progress or just any of those short yardage opportunities? I need Chris Rodriguez involved in the game plan and certainly dressed against Detroit.
This was my same thesis with Daniels for a few weeks where it just physically didn't look the same to me. That's what Brian Robinson looks like to me right now. Just doesn't look physically the same. I don't know what's going on. I haven't heard a report. I haven't seen any kind of subtweet someone that knows a tattoo artist that knows a guy that cut his hair one time. I haven't seen anything. But physically, does he look the same to everybody else? Like before, if he had to kind of tap dance in the hole, he was still going to lower shoulder, thump forward, get 2.5, 3, 4 yards. It feels like now when he gets his momentum stops, there's nothing behind it. There's no acceleration. There's no burst. Even when the hole looks like it's there for a microsecond, he just can't get to it. And that's my point here, is that's why I want Rodriguez. I'm with you. It's not as if he's the second coming of Walter Payton or Barry Sanders. But at this point, I don't think some of those big holes and some of those massive runs are available to them. I need three. I need something reasonable. And one cut, as you said, slam it in there. Chris Rodriguez, I think, would do a better job right now. But maybe it's a pass pro thing. Maybe it's a passing game thing. They involved Robinson as a receiver in space yesterday. I don't know, man. I don't know exactly what's going on with the running game.
Speaking of short yardage, Cliff Kingsbury, what a design to have Marcus Mariota with his quarterback sneak. And he had Daniels dot the I in a power eye. He had Robinson as the up-back fullback. Daniels deep man. And then Daniels go in motion. He did it multiple times. The first time, Mariota for a sneak with all the eye candy on the jet action, like faking as if he's going to give it to Daniels. And then the second time, they did the whole gimmick again, but just to try to draw offsides, trying to act like they were about to sneak again. But that was a really cool design. I thought Cliff was kind of pulling things out of his hat. He's on national TV, a little bit of a showcase for him, too. As he's interviewing for head coaching jobs. But I liked Jaden took so many hits. He's running so much. Yeah. He was on pace until the final couple of drives to set a season high with 17 or more rushes for the first time. He ended up settling a little below his season high with 13 attempts. He ran 16 times twice this year. But he took a massive shot early
on the sideline, yeah.
That was the one we talked about before the season. Like, at LSU, he does this sometimes where you could say his foot was on the white, but he's still turning up field. It wasn't flagged, I think, for good reason. McCollum hitting him kind of bang, bang. It was definitely out of bounds. There's no doubt in my mind. But the body, like the shoulders are square for Daniels going up the field, and you're kind of running at him at an angle. Like, I didn't hate that no call. I would have been pissed if it got called.
Right. It's the kind of play I don't want called, but I know very well that Brady or Mahomes or, you know, one of the royalty would have gotten it.
I agree. Right? Maybe Daniels gets there in a couple of years. But also, when you act like he does, which is to say you're your team's leading rusher, and you know him and Lamar and even Josh Allen or whatever, like you're not going to get that. Right. When you're lowering your shoulder and taking on contact a lot of the time, you're just viewed and refereed differently, whether people like that or not. But I just bring that up to say I'm rewatching it now. He got destroyed on that hit. It was shoulder to chest, but he got lifted up off the ground because he's such a slender guy. And basically, like John Elway in the Super Bowl, helicoptered around into the like 3-4 yards out of bounds.
Yeah, I was going to say back 5 yards out of bounds.
He got crushed.
And I'm at Funny Danny on Twitter. I just said, oh my God. Like, I had no other analysis. That's all I could think about was, oh, like, that was, you know, stars passing in front of my eyes. That was the please get up and be fine. And of course he was. It just, he bounces back like it was nothing. It was not nothing.
He's been fine each time for the most part this year. Let's go to Mark in Florida on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
How we doing, buddies?
Good, bud.
Good.
So I went to the game last night. I took my sons that are 12, twin 12-year-old boys.
Nice.
I took them to the game last night, so it was their first game. And, man, let me tell you, the atmosphere with the Commanders fans, Skins fans that showed up, it was unreal. So many high fives in the concourse. So much singing hail to the Redskins. It was such a great night.
It was incredible.
Yeah, so much
fun.
By
the way, I don't know how you felt. I thought the game presentation in that stadium was a 10 out of 10. The replays are constant.
Cool.
The screens are great. The audio is fantastic. I just thought like their game day presentation was really good. I think he's gone. Appreciate the call. And maybe he's gone to the stadium before because he's in Florida listening on the Odyssey app. But they did a really good job. A lot of times when you're at a game, they don't show enough replays. Like they have huge screens that are obviously way newer than the date of the original stadium. Like, I'm sitting in that stadium. It's a year younger than FedEx Field. A year younger.
Doesn't feel that way, right?
It's only 5 times better.
Yeah.
You know, like, same thing with the Ravens. The Ravens and that stadium were built, I think, at the same time, FedEx Field. And you go to Baltimore, they're not yearning for a new place. But when you buy it as cheap as you build it as cheap as you can because you're paying for it, I guess, and you're in a rush, which Kent Cook was, that's kind of how we got what we got. Like, let's do this thing as fast as possible, and who is the lowest bidder? And that's what you get.
You can pay for personality. Nope.
Right.
Bland concrete, please.
Let's go to Andre in Manassas on G&D. What's up, Dre?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning. Good evening. It was a great game. There was nothing to not like about it. Obviously, a little bit disappointed with the running game. I mean, I think it's safe to say, unfortunately, Boy Robinson might have lost his fastball. But it happens, and sometimes it's just, you know, they say sometimes the boxer, they don't realize the age until they're in the middle of the fight, and I think that might happen with Robinson. The one thing
but
I would say,
he's not old, though. I mean,
he's not, but for when it comes to running backs, don't forget what happened his first year here. You know, a lot of things
I
might
get
happen.
It, but he's 25. He's had like, you know, 500 career carries. That'd be a pretty quick career arc to be done.
But, you know, like Danny said, man, something's off. The one thing I would say, and I'm glad you guys aren't doing, you know, game balls and gassers when you win a playoff game. That's just, you know, that wouldn't be right. But I would say this. I think people are giving our defense such a hard time. I mean, you know, they gave up 20 points to a damn good offense. I know a lot of folks are, you know, want to, like, you know, poo-poo Lattimore. But, I mean, it's almost like reverse baseball. You know, you give up less than 100 yards. You give up like single digit receptions on you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, wide receiver, and folks are just like killing him. So, I mean, the defense, granted, you know, Jaden Daniels is the star, and you know, all praise goes to him. But I think the flip side of the coin, and I think sometimes we're just a little bit too hard on our defense. I think they did a damn good job. This is the playoffs. You're going up against the very best. And you know, what do people want to see? Pitch a shutout or something? But kudos to the defense. I don't think we could have won this game. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is the reason we won the game. But you know, they did a lot of big things, and I just think we need to sing some praise to them a little bit more.
No, I think that's actually a solid point. If you tell me before this game, Tampa gives up 20 points, do you take it sight unseen immediately? I'd sign up for that.
You mean they score 20 points?
Yeah. Sorry, I said the wrong thing. If Tampa scores 20 in this game, I would take that 100%, 100 times out of 100. You force a huge turnover in their end. I'll take that. So there were individual moments, certainly, where you go, whenever they want to go back to this Mike Evans on Lattimore thing, they can, until Washington made an adjustment, kind of to their credit. They ended up scoring a touchdown based off of a counter to what Washington was forced to do because Lattimore couldn't cover Evans. So you could see it visually on one side. Like, when it was one-on-one, Evans won every single time, it seemed like, right?
Literally. I mean, yeah. Every target was a catch, plus the PI that got him to the one-yard line. Yeah, there's no real explaining that one away. A lot of more, if that was a boxing match, got knocked out in a, you know, TKO in the middle of the ring pretty embarrassingly early in the fight. That said, did the defense do enough? Yes, this is not beat up the defense day for me. I actually disagree with Dre a little bit in the sense of I both will say I'm not upset at the defense at all. I'm not going to be heaping any kind of anguish toward them, but I'm not doing the we should be giving them more credit. Tampa only scored 20 points thing. There were two punts forced all game long. One of them was on a penalty fest by the Bucks, where they shot themselves in the foot on a three and out in the first half. And there were back-to-back punts there. But, like you said, they forced a turnover, a takeaway, early, you know, in Bucks territory in the red zone. They didn't force anything. Baker Mayfield fumbled the ball.
Well, that's true.
Bobby Wagner recovered it. They didn't pick the ball off. They didn't hit him. They didn't sack him. Like, that was a fortuitous play where the ball fell at Bobby Wagner's feet and did a really good job to corral it. So I give him credit for that. But I kind of feel that way about the game largely. Very little was put on their plate and they ate it. I gave them two green beans. I gave them a sliver of chicken. And I gave them a spoon of mashed potatoes. They had to be on the field for 24 minutes. The play discrepancy was offense 70 plays, defense 44 plays. So yes, it's true the Bucs only had 20 points. That has more to do with the offense of Washington dominating time of possession and keeping the football than the defense of Washington being particularly good, in my opinion. They were fine. They didn't do anything wrong. But Baker Mayfield had a 150 quarterback rating last night. Perfect is 158.3. They forced three incompletions and a couple were drops. The Bucs averaged 6.5 yards per play. That'd be number one in the NFL this year. Defensively, they did not play well, in my opinion. But the offense was on the field enough that they didn't get exposed often enough. That was really the difference to me. And the big moments were a center snapping the ball too early on third and inches to help him out. The fumble from Baker Mayfield to help him out, like those types of things. I'm not mad at the defense, but this was about the offense being so great that the defense basically was not able to be taken advantage of frequently enough for Tampa Bay to win.
I think that's well said. I would tend to agree.
Even at 4:40 left, when they get the ball back and they go kick and win the game, if they would have kicked with 57 seconds left, do you think that the Bucs wouldn't have gotten in field goal range? I do not.
How confident are you?
I'm pretty sure they would have.
Yeah.
That was about the offense putting the game away.
Uh-huh.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Want to know what you thought about last night's game. We'll take our first look at the Lions game a little later today as well. We got Jay Gruden coming up at 5. I still want to talk about Dan Quinn. Riverboat Dan going for 5 fourth downs last night on the Fan.
we picked the right people, right? When you pick Adam Peters and you pick Coach Quinn, and then they brought in the right players. The culture changed. See, you went from a losing culture to a winning culture. But it's about those players. And they decided that they wanted to win. See, they didn't worry about what all the analysts said, all the people said, and the right quarterback.
It's a great laugh.
That million-dollar laugh, man.
Magic Johnson outside the locker room last night. You've got Ron Rivera's answer in the press conference where he's asked why they're the worst team in the NFC East, and he goes,
Quarterback.
And then last night, Magic Johnson goes, quarterback. Just giddy. Ron Rivera, quarterback. Bad. Magic, quarterback. Good.
Very different, yeah, somehow.
Different answers with the same word being said. Man, 4th-and-1, Jaden Daniels. He just always makes the play. He always makes the big play. He has all season long.
Like the 1 4th down they failed on that crossing route. It's so weird when it doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you just go.
He threw like at McCaffrey's feet.
Yeah, under pressure, kind of like had to straighten up. It just didn't make a good throw. But you go, it's like jarring when it doesn't happen. That's how dependable it is.
Speaking of them not getting one of those 4th downs, they actually didn't get 2. I don't get what people don't get about this. And I need to stop caring a little bit, if we're being honest. But people cannot grasp the idea of going for 4th downs and why it makes sense. Like the number of people who still today or yesterday were in my mentions at Grant H. Paulson, I'm sure in yours, Danny, at Funny Danny, saying, well, they left 6 points on the field.
Got to take the points.
So this is this is not how it works. You can't say that they should have kicked the field goals the 2 times that they didn't get the first down, and then that they should have gone the 2 times they scored the touchdowns to end up with a total of 20 points. That's not how it works. You either go for all 4 in this hypothetical, or you kick all 4 times. And by going for all 4 and getting 2 of them, or in this case, 5 times, right? But it was 4 in field goal range, I guess is what matters. So the 4 in field goal range,
mm-hmm.
they got 2 of them. That's 2 touchdowns. That's 14 points. If they would have kicked field goals on all 4 occasions, at max, they would have had 12 points. That is still 2 more points by not getting 2 of the 4 that they went for in field goal range, because by getting 2 of them, they outscored what you would do if you weren't go for it Eddie, if you weren't go for it Freddie, if you weren't Dan Campbell Quinn, if you didn't get off the bus going all of our 4th downs in field goal range and 4th and 2 or fewer or whatever, we're going for these. Then you kick 4 field goals and you have 12 points. They went 4 times and didn't get 2. They scored 14 points. Which one is better?
Yeah, it's the
it's math.
It's a little bit of expected points, which I know is a big deal for a lot of folks, and it's probably a bridge too far. But it's how we got the 3-point revolution in basketball. It took a lot of years for people to explain it's better to shoot 40% from 3 than 50% from 2. You get more points. If you shoot 10 threes and you make 4 of them, it's better than shooting 10 twos and making 5 of them. You outscore yourself 12 to 10. The same thing happens when you do that. Now, going for a 4th down doesn't guarantee points, et cetera, but you guarantee a lower ceiling when you kick that field goal. And that's kind of the point here, is you live by the sword and you die by it. There were a couple of those times where that 4th and 3, when they got stuck and had no plays that looked like that were going to work, I might have kicked that field goal right there, and I wouldn't have killed him for it. But the point is, they decided before the game, this is how we're going to play this. And you don't win by doing it some of the times and going with your gut the other time. And then this time I'm going to do it, but the next time I won't. You do it consistently, it works out more often.
There might not be any punts in that Lions game, the way these two coaches Seriously. Like to operate. I mean, Dan Campbell's actually going in minus territory sometimes. 4th and a foot, 4th and a yard.
Yeah. 4th and 4 from his own 30. He's like, let's go.
His own 36-yard line.
We're going.
If he needs less than a yard, they might go for it. Let's go to Grant in Orlando listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Grant?
Gentlemen, how are you? From the Central Florida chapter of Commanders Nation.
Well, you showed out.
Oh, yeah. It's been dormant, but we're like the Night of the Living Dead, and we're back. Guys, I like that other father. I'm kind of a questionable dad because I brought my 12-year-old and 10-year-old to their very first Commanders playoff game and got them to school this morning. Getting
wow,
back at
quick turnaround.
Yeah, very quick turnaround. Can't complain when you were on the flight at 5:30, Grant. But the atmosphere was great there. It was so much better. I was at the first game when it was 115 heat index.
Oof.
And I think that made a big difference to our big guys up front. I mean, our defensive line, our linebackers, our interior guys played really well by comparison, at least to the first game. I felt that the Bucs fans were very friendly for the most part. It was a good dynamic between Commanders and Bucs fans, but there were a lot of us. I have some sympathy for what the Bucs fans experienced because, you know, we've seen that in God's country in the DMV at FedEx Field, Northwest, Landover Haunted Mansion Stadium. We've seen it when other fans come in and take over. We didn't take over, but our presence was felt.
Only every game they played pretty much for the better part of 10 years. I love that you got the kids to the game. I wish you wouldn't have sent them to school in the morning. Wish you would have let them just wake up and enjoy themselves and, you know, rewatch the game or something, maybe play a little Madden, maybe break out the Commander's helmet and line it up next to the Lions helmet, get ready for next week.
Yeah, when you're filling out that little the thing online where it's like, why is the kid missing?
Yeah.
You go like, core memory. I don't know.
Elijah's in the district. What's up, Elijah?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
I thought it was a good game. I think they're going to just get better. I do like the fact that they just stayed the same way. Who Dan Quinn said this team was and how they were going to operate, it showed in the game. Everything has been clear. You can see it. Everyone knows what's going to happen in a sense or what can happen. No one wants to see Jaden Daniels in the fourth quarter under 5 minutes. As you get tired, that fourth quarter is a very dangerous quarter. And as you get tired, it just seems like it's harder to defend him. I would like to see them this game continue to use the running backs in a three-step drop game and kind of getting them up the field. I like the perimeter thing. They went pony. They went two backs. Great. That means they're looking at the tape. They looked at themselves in the mirror and said, what do we do well in parts of the season and trying to bring that back together. I would like to see them add the receiving core a little bit to this running game. Anything at this point to get a spark, I think, is on the table. We saw what Dallas did to us the first time, and they said we're going to give 88 the ball anyway, and Washington has to do that. It can't be any point in the game that Terry McLaurin isn't a factor.
Well, I'll give them a lot of credit
for
this.
Appreciate you, bud.
Terry from Jump Street yesterday was heavily involved.
Yeah, they made it clear, and it was right.
They wasted no time getting him in the mix. By the way, Christian McCaffrey's whole family was there. Luke McCaffrey's whole family was there. So Christian and Ed, his father, who won Super Bowls. I thought that was cool seeing them outside the locker room. And then also, I don't know if you saw this, but LSU teammates Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Both went to the game.
That's cool.
And were with Jaden Daniels after the game, which tells you a lot about him, that his LSU superstar wide receiver rookies went to the playoff game, even though they wish they would have been there. Probably painful. But, you know, they went to go support their guy as well.
That's cool.
I think that says a lot about Daniels. We got your Beltway Blitz. It's going to be a Commanders Blitz coming your way right at the top of the hour. And next hour we should go through, even though they've played up against the really good and down against the really bad, how these last five games have all come down to the wire and they found ways to win all of them. It was almost like the entire season was building up to being prepared for the test last night. You're listening to Grant and Danny.